Was it the Broadcast Association? Which one do they vote for?
The both? Broadcasters
Association. the Broadcast Association.
Did I say that?
Yeah. Yes. It was amazing. The Broadcast
Association. Listen, if we got to vote, they would make more sense.
They wish we voted. They need us. Frank, get us the BHWA. Yo, tell me what I want, what I really, really want. So tell me what you want, what you want.
Elias Pettersson put it into sport mode.
A hat trick for Fetter.
Hughes, Jones.
Girls aren't as fast as boys.
Canucks. It's pronounced Canuck.
I don't know hockey stuff that well.
You play ball like a girl.
Hello and welcome to the Broadcast. Thanks for joining us, your local hockey girl gang, to talk about hockey, sports culture, and whatever is going on in our brains this week. I'm Georgie, your host, and I am joined by
Sam,
Vanessa,
and Danny.
So Mallory is unable to be on the main part of the podcast this week, but there will be an interview segment closer to the end where she talks to friend of the pod, Romina Schlaw, who's from the Calgary Flames newsletter, Scorch Stack, and they're going to talk about the recent hockey rom-com movie entitled Odd Man Rush, starring Trevor Gretzky. So you will get to hear a lovely voice. It'll just be closer to the end of the podcast. We're going to start off this week with our highs and lows.
Okay. We actually don't have any lows this week. I guess the Canucks getting eliminated could be a low, but we may have just muted or blocked everyone who sends us mean stuff now, or maybe everyone was just too depressed from the Canucks losing to be snarky with us. So no lows this week. Good job, guys. We do have a bunch of highs. We released our merch, if you haven't seen on Twitter yet. So we've got both Mott Girls Summer products. All the proceeds from the Mott Girls Summer sales will be donated to mental health initiatives in BC and Michigan. And so far, we've raised almost $290. So good job, guys. And we've also got just general Broadcast merch, and Georgia designed all of it. Shout outs to people who have purchased so far. We've got Cody Sweet, Jim Attridge, John Jang, Christopher Andrews, Cardi Wong, Kelsey G, the Power Puck Girls, Anna Forsyth, and Nia. So thanks to all of you guys. And if you haven't gotten your merch yet, make sure you put your orders in. And we're trying to get Tyler Mott to acknowledge our merch. So that might be my high next week. Our DM high of this week is maybe one of my favorite ones we've gotten. It's from Joey Hansen, and he DM'd us a random story where he said he was dropping stuff off at the garbage dump in Surrey, and he was listening to the Broadcast, and the couple in the truck beside him stopped to ask if he was listening to the Broadcast because they were too, and they had a brief bonding moment. So shout out to the three people in Surrey who are listening to us and bonding over us at the dump. We appreciate you guys so much. And I love that you recognized what he was listening to from your pickup truck. That's awesome. Don't forget to hit subscribe if you haven't already, or unsubscribe and subscribe again if you want to. Leave us 5 stars and write us a review, whether it's something constructive, something funny, something nice. And we will read them all and see if you get a shout out next week.
Lots of fun hockey going on. Lots of white dudes on skates running into each other at full speed. Let's do that hockey.
So it is time for us to transition to the hockey /sports in general, now that we are in the Canucks offseason segment of the podcast. So we're going to start off with what was hot this week. And first up is all the dog reunions, which we've been getting graced with via social media. Sam, what's been the cutest one?
There have been so many dog reunions. And so far, I think my two favorite ones, the first one that we got was Troy and Phoebe, which obviously for the pod is a soft spot, especially Georgia.
My heart.
And
be still.
So cute. So that was, the first one was probably my favorite one. There have been a whole bunch of other ones. I don't know. I don't think I posted this one, but I don't know if you guys saw the one with Travis Konecny and his two dogs in the car, but I'm going to post it later. And his dog voice is so funny. Like, it's so high pitched. But my other favorite one so far has been Oscar Lindblom. He has a mini dachshund, and his girlfriend Alma posted a video of the dachshund just like running all the way down the length of the parking garage. And I have never seen a dog's tail move that fast. And she was just all over him. And it was so cute. So those are my favorite ones. I think I have been most disappointed so far by the fact that we have not gotten a Delilah Demko, Thatcher Demko reunion video yet. I'm waiting for that one.
Lexi, what are you doing?
I know. Golfing. All of her Instagram stories right now are golfing. And she's doing like the beauty counter thing.
A lot of the wives and girlfriends are doing that now.
They're all doing it.
It's a pyramid scheme.
Yes.
They all fall for the pyramid scheme.
Like, you just have to Google it and start reading people's reviews and you're just like, oh, right away, pyramid scheme.
Someone today posted in this like chat I'm in on Facebook. It's like for grad students. And someone pointed out that doing a PhD is basically being involved in a pyramid scheme. I laughed so hard because it's so true. That's why I'm not doing a PhD. It's because I'm smart enough to not fall for a pyramid scheme.
The other dog reunion that I thought was really cute is, you know what, I'm just going to call them friend of the pod because we can, but Adam Gaudette and Michaela Kim. Michaela posted a video of Adam getting out of the truck or whatever and Zeus and Stella just losing it. But I was dying because I think Stella had a gardening tool in her mouth. I knew it was so funny.
Oh,
so those are my favorite dog reunions.
Brock Besser's was pretty funny too. Just like his voice is, oh. I tweeted, he sounds like Mickey Mouse. I'll put a thing in the background of his laugh. I've never heard that noise from him.
It was really high pitched.
Yeah.
Okay, next up on the hot list is Braden Point. How many points did he have in that game? Is it like five or something?
Six.
I don't know. Vanessa, tell us about him. He's in your fantasy pool, which is garbage.
He is absolutely tearing up the playoffs right now. Arguably the top choice for Conn Smythe, I think. Although Cooch is 2 points behind him. I don't know if it's a coming out party for him because he's always been pretty good. But I've heard some analysts saying that he has moved into the elite category of NHL players now. So good for him.
I can't believe he's a third round draft pick.
That's insanity to me. I mean, it's because he's a short king.
His bridge contract is going to kill them in 2 years, though.
What's he making right now?
He's at 675.
When did he sign that?
Last year. They signed him to a bridge deal because they couldn't afford to lock him up for more because they had cap space issues, which is why they had to get rid of JT Miller. Full circle. Right. 3-year bridge deal at 6.75 and expires 2022. Like, he's going to get paid. So this is why you don't give your star players bridge deals. No bridge deals for star players.
Yeah, the Canucks took Nikita Tranquin 13 picks before Braden Point.
This reminds me that I have a t-shirt that I had made, especially for David Quadrelli, and I still haven't given to him. I have to figure out a way to get it to Quads, but it says Tranquin is not an NHL defenseman. And it originally said Tranquin is a bum, but Quads DM'd me to ask me to change it because he was like, it's actually too mean to say he's a bum and I would feel bad wearing it out and about.
David is too wholesome.
I know.
He's so cute.
Did you see that they told the story about Nathan MacKinnon on their podcast today? I'm like, wow, we have taken you over to the dark side. And I'm genuinely concerned.
I love it.
Wholesome boy who wasn't born when Mulan came out. Quadrelli exists just to make me feel old, I'm pretty sure.
It's like me and Vanessa.
I still can't believe he's my editor. Like, I always say that because I still can't believe like this 20-year-old like little wholesome boy. He tells me I can't put thick in articles when I tried to I put THICC. He's like, Danielle, I love it personally, but I can't let you put it in.
Okay, we should probably update our fantasy pools.
I will start. I think, am I winning? Probably.
Shut up. You are
that
winning.
That was the worst. Am I winning? I'm down to 2 players.
I have zero.
I just have Braden Point.
I am ranked 134th in the league. I am 123 points behind the leader.
I am 40th. And
garbage.
Yeah, Braden Point's my last player.
You know who's actually doing the best, though, is Danny's fake team.
Yeah, Tyler Thought.
Tyler Thought. Danny's second team is in 15th place right now.
Oh, whoa. It was up to 6 at one point, but I have no players left now because the Avalanche went out. And if they would have went a little bit further, Tyler Thought could have taken it. Just that name alone.
I'm currently in 66th. Yes, I am in 66th, and I'm down to Nate Schmidt and Robin Leonard. We'll see. I'm 98 points behind the lead. Not hopeful. No comebacks for me.
Where's Mal in it?
She's tied for 134th.
Is she beating me? No, we're tied.
That's amazing.
Oh my God. Wait, Danny, where are you?
I am tied for 68th with Julia, our friend from Twitter.
Julia, who ruined Riley Smith for me forever.
All right. Our next up on our hot list is Jim Benning and Travis Green's press conference / radio hits on 650, where they kind of, I guess it kind of was just a debrief of the season, but also they went into talking about what they kind of expect from next season and the off season, stuff like signing Jacob Markstrom, which we kind of expected. And yeah, just discussing how the playoffs went, etc. Danny, what did you take out of the press conference?
Like he said, he wanted Jake to show up in the playoffs and he didn't. And I guess that was the final straw finally for Jim. So now he's on our page, finally, Mock Girl Summer page. And it's time to kick Jake to the curb. And I'd rather honestly put the money into like Mott and keeping Stetcher. I'm nervous, honestly, about Stetcher because they need to keep him. I think it's a huge mistake to let him go, of course. And
part of me wants to be like, oh, they finally like, oh, they're kind of accepting. Okay, this is who Jake is. And I think they mentioned Alex Tuck when they were talking about him, mm-hmm. which a lot of other people brought up. But then also part of me goes, oh God, is this a grand negging scheme? Because I wouldn't put it past them. Oh,
that's true.
Travis Green loves to neg. We know that. And he loves to neg Jake in particular.
Okay, yeah. Here's the thing about negging. When you neg someone, it has to be someone who has any degree of shame and who actually cares about doing their job. I'm not going to make the connecting statement there, but you guys can draw your own conclusions about where I'm going. I did enjoy seeing a lot of people who were very vocally on the Jake Virtanen train try to disavow it yesterday and be like, I've been off that for a while.
The team just needs to stop making excuses for Jake and all this crap. It's like really annoying. Even the one thing too is with Jim Benning saying all this stuff and you want to trade him, like, should you be like airing all this laundry?
I mean, it's not anything.
How you really feel about him?
It's not anything people don't know.
Oh, for sure. But I just think you'd maybe want to just try and sell him a little more.
I don't think we're getting a second round pick for him.
Oh, no.
No.
He's definitely not worth that.
I think you're
it's also confusing. Yeah, it's also confusing because what do they do? Like they trade for the chance to go into arbitration with him?
Yeah.
Right?
Or are you some just sucker team.
I mean, yeah, realistically, you want to get something for him. You don't want to.
Yeah, I'm just like, just some like late round draft picks, even just something. That's just what I would hope for. Just, yeah, try and trade his like arbitration rights to some, yeah, sucker team.
Jim Rutherford.
He's going to try and go to LA so he can get back with Ben Hutton.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you could try to get back together with Chloe Moretz.
Oh my gosh. He wants to go to Seattle, but we know they've hired a really diverse analytics department and they're going to see right through that immediately. So sorry, Jake, they won't take you there.
I think he's just going to, you could trade him to Pittsburgh. He could be on a really fast and useless line with Kasperi Kapanen.
Isn't McCann there?
McCann didn't sleep with Jake's girlfriend. Okay, last on our slate, Danny's going to talk about the NFL because it's back, baby.
Yes, it's here. And Madden, as you guys know, is the NFL's biggest video game. And they added Kaepernick back to the game after being out for, I think it was 4 years, 3 or 4 years. And they ranked him an 81, which is pretty high because a lot of quarterbacks in the league are not that high. So it is kind of funny. They're just trying to save face with that one. And he should be in the league, obviously. So some team should step up and sign Kaepernick. And then the season's kicking off as well, which is really exciting. The first game is tomorrow, Thursday, which will be yesterday if you're listening to this Friday when this podcast comes out. And that game is featuring the Kansas City Chiefs, which is Mal's team. And they're taking on the Houston Texans. So that one is the big matchup between Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, the two quarterbacks. They were actually in the same draft year together, and they both got huge contracts this offseason. So Mahomes signed a 10-year, $503 million contract, the richest in NFL history. And then Watson signed a 4-year extension on his for $177 million. So not too bad.
What are your thoughts on the Chiefs? Jalen Ramsey's contract.
I think that is dumb for the Rams. I applaud it as a 49ers fan in their division, especially since they are playing Jared Goff ridiculous money and Aaron Donald as well. So you have three players just eating away at the salary cap. Like, go ahead, fine, pay them, pay your stars, but you still have to fill out the roster. And I'm going to enjoy playing you every week because Jared Goff is overrated as well. So yeah, I started a NFL fantasy pool, which is not a fantasy pool, it's a pick'em pool. So it's even easier. You just have to join the league and you can just search the broadcast on the NFL pick'em for office pools or go to our Twitter page and find the link there and just join. And every week you just have to pick who you think is going to win straight up. You don't have to know anything at all. It could be totally random. So just join and have fun. And yeah, that's basically it.
How many fantasy pools are you in for football this year?
I'm in 6 fantasy pools.
Oh my God.
How do you have the time?
Okay, my Sundays are pretty disturbing. I watch football with 3 screens.
Wow.
I have like a game on my like main TV and then I have another TV playing the Red Zone channel, which is a channel that takes you to every live scoring play as it's happening or whatever the most exciting thing is at the time. So it's just always going, which is great for fantasy. And then since there's so many games on at the same time, I have another screen on with more games.
I need to get back into football. I don't have a team anymore. I'm not going to recap who my old team was. I'm ashamed.
My team's the 49ers, as you guys know, and they're favored by a lot of people to make it back to the Super Bowl. And to be honest with you, I think they might not even make the playoffs this year.
Hot take.
Sorry, Dad, which like kills me to say. But I honestly, it scares me, all this hype. And they lost DeForest Buckner, which I think is a huge piece. Like everyone thinks Nick Bosa is like the biggest piece on the defensive line. But no, it was really all DeForest Buckner. And it was a huge mistake letting him go and keeping Armstead instead.
Question. Is Nick Bosa a racist? Is that that
yes.
guy?
Yes.
The funniest thing is every time he does something good, the 49ers Twitter community, the jokes are always excellent.
Quick shout out for our Canadian tennis players who I think overall had a pretty successful US Open. Shout out to Felix, Vasek Pospisil, and Dennis Chapo. They all had a really good tournament. Fortunately, none of them made it to the quarters, but they did us proud.
So we're going to transition into the not hot section of hockey and sports. I will say quickly, because we've just been talking about tennis, a good not hot is Novak Djokovic.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. He's the worst.
Who's been having an interesting year.
Rachel Dory sent a DM to me earlier this week, or sent us a DM earlier this week. That was like, Djokovic in 2020 held tournament with fans to spread COVID. Went to nightclubs, hosted COVID parties, spread anti-vax nonsense, created a players association that excludes women, hit an ump in the throat with a ball, threw a racket, and nearly hit an ump. And we're only 69% of the way through this year.
Novak, not hot, Djokovic.
Yep. Vasek, very hot, Pospisil.
So this week, the player awards, or the NHL awards, I should say, have been getting released. And today was the Jack Adams and also the GM of the year. Sam, do you want to talk about this one?
Both of these were not hot, to be clear. Actually, I think so far for me, all the NHL awards have been not hot, but today they were extra freezing cold. First of all, the Jack Adams award went to Bruce Cassidy, coach of the Bruins. And that just, it makes no sense to me. Like, he's had that roster for however many years. Like, we spent a week talking about how, oh, the Bruins core is finally at the end of its road. Like, he has Tuukka Rask and Jaro Halak. Like, there's nothing special about the team that required any degree of good coaching. So that one makes no sense to me. Somebody asked me who I would have picked. I don't know. I don't care. I don't like any of the coaches. It's fine, but he definitely doesn't deserve it. The Jim Gregory finalists were announced today, and Frank Saravalli, who's the head of the PHWA, I think said that the votes for GM of the year were taken at the end of the second round, which I thought all the voting was done before the playoffs, so that confused me. The three finalists are Lou Lamoriello, Jim Nill, and Julien Brisebois, so 75% of the teams that have made it to the conference finals. Jim Nill's team looks exactly the same as the team that he came out and called, that Jim Lights came out and called dog shit last year. Like, he's used the same lineup. They've been horrendous all year. I mean, horrendous is probably strong, but for what it is, they haven't been good this year. until randomly the comeback against the Flames, and then they've suddenly been miraculously good. Julian Brisebois, like, Tampa Bay Lightning is the same lineup. There's, well, I guess they brought in Zach Bogosian and, like, they got rid of JT Miller. Oh, and they brought in Blake Coleman for a first round pick. So I guess if you want to say that's a GM of the year thing. And then Lou Lamoriello is, no, that's just, if Lou Lamoriello gets GM of the year for that team, Barry Trotz should get the Jack Adams Award. Like, none of this makes any sense. That's my not hot. I have a lot of feelings about this that I didn't realize I had. But yeah, the Jack Adams is voted on not by the PHWA. It's voted on by the NHL Broadcasters Association. And I tried to go look up who was in the association, and their Twitter page is private. But yeah, not hot, NHL Awards.
For those wondering, Travis Green did get 2 first place votes, 2 second place votes, and 2 third place votes.
From one shitty situation to another.
Oh no.
Okay, we just got to do this briefly. Danny, tell us about Odell Beckham Jr.
So, one of the most popular wide receivers and one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, Odell Beckham Jr., wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns, normally a wide receiver number one, but this week he is wide receiver number 2 because a lady by the name of Lim Danger was on a podcast. She was on Thoughts Next Door, and she had an Odell Beckham story. And she says, and I quote, "I will tell you this story. He loves to be shitted on. That was my first time ever." And she went on in the interview to explain how at first he asked her to take a picture of her taking a shit. And then she said, so she sent a video and she tried to make it as sexy as she could.
Oh my God.
Sent it to him. And then she's, yeah, when they met up, he shitted on her, to quote her.
Didn't the past tense of shit just be shit?
Yep.
Why do these people always think that this stuff is not going to get out? Why? Oh, they're super God. Fucking famous. It's going to get out.
I don't know if he did it with this woman. I don't think he did, but let's just say I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't into some of this weird stuff either. So,
and just so we're clear, we're not kink shaming. There's just a lot of really good puns available.
Yeah. And Odell, if you like that, you live that life. We just don't need to hear about it. So that probably wasn't really cool, actually. Slim Danger, you keep that shit to yourself.
I just don't, like, did he not make her sign an NDA?
Oh God.
Although obviously, like, yeah. We've discussed the dangers of NDAs, but...
Oh, one of the funniest things, too, on that podcast interview was the host, when the girl said, like, this stuff, they would go in the background, allegedly, like that.
Oh,
like,
God.
It makes it so much better.
The last thing that we want to touch on is not hot for this week in sports is the Caster Semenya loss in the Swiss Court of Appeal, which happened yesterday, so that would have also been Tuesday. For people who don't know who Caster Semenya is, she is a 29-year-old middle distance runner from South Africa. She's a black woman. She's from kind of a rural, poor area of South Africa. And she kind of burst onto the scene in 2009 when she won the gold medal at the World Championships, which she then followed up in 2011 with another gold medal at the World Championships. And she also won the gold in 2012 and then 2016 in Rio, all at the 800 meter distance. So what she was trying to appeal was this new kind of regulation put in place by the World Athletics Committee that would require her to use testosterone reducing drugs to be able to compete when running distances over 400 meters. This conversation around Caster Semenya has been going on for well over a decade. Basically, following her 2009 win, she was flagged by someone, I don't know if it's public about who actually did it, but they asked that she have a sex verification test to prove that she wasn't a man and also wasn't intersex, because if you're intersex, you cannot compete. So she went under these testings, and then a year later, her information got leaked, which is already a massive breach of her privacy, but it got leaked. And the results were that she was in fact a woman and she was not intersex, which is what she'd been saying all along. two things I really want to point out in terms of this story and the way we understand it as kind of a sight into the way sports culture works is that the Caster Semenya case illustrates that sports is still one of the most crucial and important methods of entrenching gender binaries. So, or the gender binary, I should say. So there's women, female sports, and there's male sports, and you cannot go in between them. There's no kind of fluidity at all. And while Semenya kind of goes outside the normative expectations of what it means to be a female athlete, she evokes a femininity which isn't kind of understood by the general public. But it also shows the realities that while we have this gender binary and sports entrenches that, it also continues to entrench the idea that men are superior and women are inferior. So Caster Semenya is so good because she has to be a man. Because athletic supremacy is a masculine trait versus a feminine trait. You see this all the time with the ways that athletes are often kind of coded as queer or just gender nonconforming, like female athletes I'm speaking of in general. And it is also important to note that Semenya is a queer woman as well. The other thing, the other side of this that I wanted to discuss is there's a ton of really great scholarship that pulls threads between Caster Semenya and a late 18th, early 19th century woman whose name is Sarah Bartman. You may know her as the Hottentot Venus, who was a Khoisan woman also from South Africa, who was taken from South Africa and paraded around Europe as a specimen of Black female sexuality and kind of deviancy from Western norms. And her body became a key site of scientific racism. And her kind of specter continues to haunt conceptions of Black female sexuality to this day. But what these scholars kind of point to is the ways in which both Caster Semenya and Sarah Bartman's bodies became public spectacles that were literally carved up or, in Caster Semenya's case, examined, had photographs taken of her, became public fodder for some really violent conversations, particularly around race and gender. And this is the reality of the ways in which something called misogynoir, which is the kind of intersecting forms of oppression of both racism and sexism that Black women experience. And I think in the case of Caster Semenya, she's just become like a public spectacle for people to look at and judge and to question who she is. And I think it's really disgusting and really gross. And the last thing that I'll say is a lot of people have been pointing to the fact that Michael Phelps, who is also kind of considered outside the norms of athletic kind of normativity, I guess. I don't know. His wingspan is larger than a normal human's. He never had scientific intervention to try and make it an even playing ground. And yet Caster Semenya does. And that's a pretty key signifier that Michael Phelps is a wealthy white man from America and Caster Semenya is a poor rural Black woman from South Africa. And so, yeah. Oh, and then the last thing I'll just say is it's also just a really frustrating kind of illustration of the ways in which gender and sex continue to be misunderstood and the fact that people still kind of associate gender with a biological determinism. So Caster Semenya, is she a woman because she has more testosterone? That doesn't matter. If she's a woman, she's a woman. Anyway, I think, Sam, you want to touch a little bit more on the kind of legal side, which you can speak to?
Yeah, I think one of the things that struck me about the decision and maybe the discussion around it is I think it's been a little bit lost that the Swiss Supreme Court actually found that her human rights were being violated. They actually made a specific finding that the IAAF, which is now called World Athletics, that the regulations from the IAAF, the direct quote is, they seriously violate her physical integrity because the required hormonal drug intervention is not medically indicated, has negative health effects and is not based on the athlete's free consent. And so the specific finding from the court was that it actually is in violation of her rights. Unfortunately, I think the very narrow question before the court, and this is a way I think in which the law and legal systems often fail, is that appeals are set up to adjudicate specific questions of law. In a lot of ways, it's a bit frustrating because the court found that the fundamental issue is that her rights were violated, but because of the way the facts were found by the arbitrators in the system that the IAAF uses, and on the narrow question of whether it violates public policy, like they were bound to find that it wasn't a violation, even though at the core I think they went out of their way to make the comment that the regulations are a violation.
There's a great headline, and I can't remember where it was from, but it was essentially, Caster Semenya is a Black woman who loved to run, and she made white women cry. I do want to just touch quickly on something while we're kind of on this subject topic, or while we're on this topic, about something that came up after we talked about the Alyssa Rose situation last week. Someone very kindly pointed out in our comments, or not in our comments, DM'd us, and noted that while we were talking a lot about the internalized misogyny and how though we pointed out that she was speaking from a certain platform of white womanhood, we didn't really touch on the way that her comments were specifically anti-Black. So this really comes up as a form of microaggression, which I think a lot of people have trouble picking up on, but it's there when you are able to see it and read it. And it really came up in regards to her comments surrounding the ways in which NBA teams date Instagram models and go to clubs, et cetera, in a critical way, leaving out the fact that NHL players also date Instagram models and also go to clubs and interact in these kind of ways. So I just wanted to make a note of that. And please continue DMing us if you want to call us in on anything that we've missed in a conversation. There will be things that we're that might get cut from a conversation, or that might just not get in there because our experiences don't cover the whole breadth of experience. So if that happens, please continue to DM us.
These really are the days of our lives.
You don't need that show. It was just a dumb soap opera.
Soap operas this week. We saw Canucks Twitter enter its usual off-season stage of psychosis quite early this year when Jacob Markstrom decided to do a little backflip off of Sam Gagner's, I don't know, like
mansion, cottage,
cabin, mansion, cottage.
Like
his, oh yeah,
it was like everyone was like garage. Cottage. I was like, okay, any person responding cottage to this is from Muskoka.
What were people mad about? Because he had a concern because he was lying about a groin injury.
Sam Gagner's wife, who has a public Instagram, when I post things on my Twitter that are like taken from WAGs, it's always from a public account. Like I don't repost private accounts because they want it to be public, they would be. But her account is public, and it's really cute. I think their little group of friends is the Gagner's, Eric Gudbranson and his wife, Jacob Markstrom, Tanev, and
Edler
and his wife. And they did Cabo together with Louis Erickson last year, and they've done this Muskoka trip before, and she posts about it all the time, and it's super cute. And I was watching her story, and I watched Jacob Markstrom do this sick backflip off the side of their cottage, and I just like reposted it. I know a couple of other people also reposted it, but I think with commentary about whether or not he had a groin injury. I think this psychosis came out in two ways. First of all, people who were speculating about the groin injury. So there were definitely people who specifically posted in it to be like, should he be doing that when he has a groin injury? Then I had people responding to my post who were like, doesn't he have a groin injury? Which like, whatever, I just didn't engage. Then I had people getting mad at me being like, you're criticizing Markstrom, like leave the man alone. Who cares if he has a groin injury? I was like, I didn't even say anything about his groin. I literally posted and said he's doing a backflip off of Sam Gagner's house. So there was a lot of projection into this one Instagram video, which she then deleted. I mean,
like mid-season form for Canucks Twitter.
Yeah.
So next up, Mallory is going to be interviewing Romina Schlaw, who is a member of the Calgary Flames newsletter, The Scorch Deck, which you should also subscribe to if you're Calgary Flames fans. And if not, still subscribe to or follow them on Twitter. They're going to talk about the movie Odd Man Rush. It's a rom-com, hockey. There's a Gretzky in it. I'm sure it's shit. And they will discuss it.
Hi, I'm here with Romina, and she and I both watched this Wayne Gretzky's son movie, Odd Man Rush, and we're going to talk about it. You already talked about it on your Scorch Stack thing or whatever.
Yes, so. On our Substack named Scorch Stack. So
got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in general, I didn't read your article, so you can just honestly sum it up. I meant to, and I forgot to. I wanted to like be clear with you that I didn't read it, though. I didn't want to lie and say that I did.
Yeah, that's fair. That's reasonable.
Did you know that also Wayne Gretzky's son is not the main character?
No. So I wrote the entire article, and I didn't call him by his character's name. I just kept saying Wayne Gretzky's son. And then after I wrote it, I went and just searched Wayne Gretzky's son, and I didn't see him. Like, he was not the main character. So I looked up, I was like, okay, so I guess it's Trevor Gretzky in the movie. I looked up Trevor Gretzky, and I'm like, oh my God, it was not the main character at all. So I had to like leave a disclaimer being like, by the way, I'm very stupid, and the entire time I thought the main character was Wayne Gretzky's son. So just a heads up, whenever you see me say Wayne Gretzky's son, I don't actually mean Wayne Gretzky's son. I mean the main character. And I'm even more stupid because after I looked at the cast list, I realized he was in the show The Society that was on Netflix. It's like some teen drama thing. I love teen dramas. And I was like, oh my God, I watched that show. Why did I not realize that was him? I'm just really stupid.
Also, the dude, blonde guy from Letterkenny, isn't it?
Yeah.
I also watched multiple seasons of Letterkenny trying to decide if I thought it was funny or not, and then decided that I didn't like it.
Okay, I'm a really bad Canadian hockey fan, and I've never watched Letterkenny.
Well, it's not that good, so...
So I thought when I looked up Trevor Gretzky, I'm like, oh, it was like the main character's friend, because like white hockey guys just all look the same to me, I guess. And so I'm like, oh, that was him. And then I looked at the IMDb list. I'm like, wait, that wasn't him. And I'm like, when was he in this movie? And then I realized it was like his friend that was actually in the NHL. So I didn't even realize that was the Letterkenny guy. Okay, also, should we, like, we're just talking about it, should we, like, give a summary?
maybe we should summarize. But, like, the thing is that not much happens.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, everything, like, literally, you know the movie based on just what we said. That's it.
Okay. So, he, like, starts off, he's in bed with his hockey stick, like, sleeping fully clothed. Just like a cool look. I honestly did that when I was a kid. Like, I didn't want to like wake up for school early, so I would like sleep in my clothes for the night before. And I think that's fine. I think it's cool.
I like the scene before that where it just shows a woman doing laundry for a solid 2 minutes. Like, and it's like, okay.
Like folding and like everything.
Yeah, it's like, all right, thanks so much.
And then, I mean, like, then it just flashes forward to him apparently at Harvard.
So he's at Harvard, and then he gets injured. So then he says he has to play. He, like, still wants to play, but he was like, I can only play for a minor league team with no internet access. So they don't see my stats from Harvard. And then he's, like, playing for Germany next, like, some team in Germany. So you have to – no, was it Germany? Yeah, it was in Germany. Yeah. So you have to assume the city just, like, has no internet access, like he said. It was, like, a small town there. But you just have to assume, based off what he said, that there was no internet access in this city.
I don't understand that. Like, he was going to take 2 years off of hockey, essentially. So you aren't going to have any stats, bro. Like, it's fine.
That's what I mean. Like, if you're injured, then you don't have bad stats. You just don't have stats. So it's not a big deal. I don't think they understand how hockey works in this movie. Okay, so after that, he ends up getting traded to, like, this other shitty team in this small town in Sweden. And then, okay, the part that I thought was, so this movie, I didn't understand, like, the narrative or the point of view, because they keep looking at the camera and talking directly to the camera to us. I'm like, okay, so what are you guys, like, trying to achieve here in this movie, you know? But anyways, why I brought that up is because when he got traded to that Swedish team, he's at the bus stop. And then that girl was there. And it's like literally just some average looking skinny blonde girl. And he looks to the camera and is like, holy shit. It's like, okay.
Yeah, so they have like an entire conversation in English, which Swedish people are very good at English. Like they do learn it like from very young. I mean, I don't know. And then they just like start hanging out all the time.
Well,
it's never it wasn't implied even that. Like anything beyond like he doesn't get her number or anything.
No, that's what I mean. This is what bothers me. So like they see each other at the grocery store again, but they just like are like, oh, it's you from the bus stop. And then the team is at a bar and then she's at the bar and then they end up just like talking. And then you see him walking her home, but like getting no number, not asking her out, nothing like that. Doesn't like, they don't make out. They don't, you know. And then it just shows the next scene. Like the next time they're together, they're just like in a relationship now. It's like zero evolution of how this happened.
She, well, like one of their first dates is that horrible date. He takes her to like a hockey rink.
Mm-hmm.
That's a horrible first date or like second date or whatever it is.
But that's like, what I mean. Like, she was already changing in front of him before that date. And she's like, oh, where are we going out to tonight? And I'm like, so have you guys been, like, dating this whole time and nobody informed us?
Yeah, that was a really weird artistic choice. I mean, she had a very, like, cute bra, though. I mean, in, and I liked her turtleneck a lot. She did have, like, a really great wardrobe.
She did. It was probably her own wardrobe because the budget. So, like, I do like her style.
Yeah, like, that, like, green coat with the fur, that's very cool. Yeah, then they're having like a picnic on the ice and like is your ass not cold? One. Two, I still stand by the fact this is a horrible date. This guy seems like he's not bringing anything to the table. He wants to talk about hockey all the time.
Yeah, he was even like, it was like the voice inside his head was just thinking about hockey, and she clearly wants to fuck. Like she puts her head on his shoulder, stuff like that. And he even like the voice inside his head is like, I'm always thinking of this. These are the reasons I can't get laid and stuff like that. It's like, then stop thinking about it. Just like go have sex.
Which they do.
They do. And see, okay, so at this point, I still thought this was Wayne Gretzky's son. So I'm like, this is the most exciting thing that happened in the movie. Wayne Gretzky's son is having sex on camera. That rules. And then it wasn't even him. So I'm like, okay, so this movie, there's nothing exciting that happened in it for me.
I don't know. I still, and then I think that they definitely went a little, like, the thing is that nothing else happened. Like, we can, like, summarize the movie and, like,
that's what I mean.
It's like they go on some more dates. He proceeds to, like, say that he, like, doesn't actually know her just because he hasn't asked her any questions. She likes art. She wants to, like, move to New York to work in a museum.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what her credentials for this are.
I was
other than, like, she, like, explains what impressionism is to him.
I was thinking the exact same thing because she was like, oh, I've been applying, but, like, I got rejected. I'm like, okay, like, you're not in school for art. I don't think you've ever worked anywhere with art. And you're from Sweden. You want to work in New York. They're probably going to hire somebody a little bit closer by. Like, it's not like they're not the bad guys for not hiring you.
Yeah, it was, like, an absurd. There's no reason that this makes sense. This is not a normal evolution.
Something that I found kind of funny and also just like weird, this has literally zero effect on the movie, but when they were on the bus and then they got McDonald's like on the team bus and they were all passing around one single McFlurry and all just sharing one McFlurry, like you guys can get more McFlurries, please do that.
I mean, it was definitely implied that they were doing it to like fuck with Letterkenny guy, but also like the thing is that they didn't really order that much either. It was like there was like maybe like two drinks and this McFlurry. And they like put the bus through the drive-thru for this order.
Yeah, first of all, that would not fit. 100% would not fit.
Definitely thought that the part where his, so they were on yet another date, because there aren't that many characters in this movie, so
there's like three. Like,
they're just having to figure out something else to do with her. And then like his sister FaceTimes them. And I think that literally them talking about the plot of The Great Gatsby and like trying to like, I don't know, connect that to like his like lost dream of like playing in the NHL.
Also, like they've made it So you can't teach The Great Gatsby in school anymore because there's zero way for you to not plagiarize something else that's been written. It was like an article that came out a couple years ago about this. So it's like, okay, so this is even more unrealistic. She would not be writing something on The
Great Gatsby. Also, she just straight up was like, hey, can I plagiarize some of your stuff?
That's true.
She was like, and he was like, have you read it? And she was like, implying that she had it. And I'm like, girl, it's like 150 pages. It is not long.
Also, every single person knows what The Great Gatsby is. Like, don't act like you don't. And then, so this is what I thought one of the conflicts would be, was they were in practice and the main guy is like skating so slow and just randomly falls on his own, not doing anything. He's going like 5 kilometers an hour, maybe, if that. He's so slow. Falls super lightly and then hurts the leg that he didn't even fall on. And I was like, oh, this is going to be the conflict finally, like we're getting somewhere. But it was like, okay, you're just going to miss 3 games and like you're fine. Like that was it. That's what happened. I think they only did that so Wayne Gretzky's son could be in the movie more, because then he was just playing NHL with him on Skype more because he wasn't playing. Or you know what, actually, you know why I think they did the injury is because remember earlier in the movie where he finds out that the coach played for San Jose's farm team for a few weeks, and then the coach was like, oh, I ended up getting injured and then I couldn't play, so then I came and played for Sweden after a bit, and that was like my NHL dreams gone. And then when he was talking to like the doctor, I guess, was he a doctor, who knows?
Or
a physio, that's what I was thinking, but I think it was a doctor, and that guy knew the coach. And he's like, oh, he didn't get an injury. He came to take care of his goddaughter. And the guy's like, oh. And so I'm like, okay, maybe he only injured his leg. So like they would have an excuse for the doctor to be there for us to find out that he took care of his goddaughter. But I'm like, why does he, like, were her parents not there? Why did he have to go back and take care of her?
Yeah, it would have made even more sense if you were like his like goddaughter's parents like got in like a car crash or something.
Yeah, but they didn't explain it, so I have no idea what happened with that.
Once again, this movie is only like 80 minutes long. They definitely didn't need to like cut out these things.
Mm-hmm. It was like
they could have talked about them.
Yeah, exactly. That's why like when things happened, like with the girlfriend thing, which we'll get to, there was only like 10 minutes left in the movie, so I'm like, this can't be like the other conflict, which it wasn't. It was okay, so I guess we can just get to it. After
wait, there's something that I think is very important, which okay. is Letterkenny guy brings boxed wine to a bar. They're at the bar or whatever, and it's like while he's injured, and like girlfriend does show up at that point, but then like his friend, the dude from Letterkenny, he shows up to the bar with like solo cups and like a box of wine.
Oh, yeah, you're at a bar.
He just walks in with it, like.
Yeah, they wouldn't allow
that. They sell alcohol there. See, that to me is like your McFlurry scene. Like, that's like the thing that like bothered me a lot.
Yeah, that's my McFlurry. Okay. So, right, we talked about how like the movie, the girl said that she like loves art and thinks she should have a job in New York, even though she has zero qualifications. And then she, when the guy got injured, though, she's like, oh, I have something exciting to tell you. And he's like, what is it? But then she found out he may have gotten injured. She's like, oh, it was nothing. It was just a joke. And then after it ends up being that she got a job in New York, and she never told him, but he's like somehow okay with it. And then when she was packing up like her apartment to leave, she just looks at the camera and was like, I don't know why I didn't tell him. But like, everything was fine. He was fine with it. He was like, oh, she left me a note. Like, it's okay, whatever. I'm like, dude, if my boyfriend like randomly like left to go work across the world, I would be pissed. And he didn't tell me. I'd be so pissed. And like, do you guys not have each other's numbers? Why did she leave you a note? And then that's when I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be the conflict. But then I looked at the time and there was like 7 minutes remaining in the movie and he ended up being fine with it. But then like, as the movie goes, so like you find out there's like little things. So like with her, remember how she mentioned her dad gave up woodworking because she was born? And then the thing about the coach coming to take care of his goddaughter and like giving up his dream in the NHL, stuff like that. So then, and he's always asking his friends, have you noticed that? Like he asked his one friend, Letterkenny guy, when he was like, oh, do you ever have like do you have dreams outside of hockey? Do you know what you want to do? after hockey, stuff like that. So you think that he is like thinking about like, maybe I'm not going to do hockey. Because remember at the end of the movie, he gets traded to that Swedish team. And then he was like, I don't know, he doesn't look super happy about it. He was just, and then he's like, I don't know what I'm going to do, when he like thought he actually got kicked off the team. He's like, maybe I'll just go back home to New York. And so you think that like the end lesson will be, he's just going to go home. Like he realizes he doesn't need hockey. He like cares more about family, stuff like that. But then he just like goes and plays for Kumla. You think, we don't know.
No, he doesn't. He leaves his sticks at the hotel.
What?
Did you not realize that? He doesn't put his sticks in the car when he leaves.
Oh, so he was going back home?
He gets in the car and it like pans and his sticks are like by the wall.
So I remember that now, and I thought literally like I just thought he accidentally left them. I didn't realize that was on purpose.
That's so funny.
Listen, it should have been more clear. This is why this movie sucks.
Yeah, I mean, like, the thing is that I understand also even the idea of, like, giving up on your dream and, like, realizing that your dream is just not going to happen. But the whole achievement of him just, like, asking Letterkenny what he's going to do, and he's like, I don't know, I'm probably going to go become a cop, was not helpful.
Especially, this movie was released September 2020. Like, let's not do that, guys. Come on.
Making a statement on how failed members of society give up and become cops because they don't have anything else to do. They don't want to get a real job.
That would be a very good lesson at the end.
That's actually the lesson of this movie.
Yeah, that's actually what it is. But no, what I thought, what else was weird, remember at the beginning of the movie when he was younger and his teacher was like, oh, write a letter to yourselves and I'll mail them to you in 15 years. It's like, first of all, like, you're going to do that for every student you've ever had. That's a little weird. Second of all, he ends up getting a letter at the end of the movie from his teacher that he wrote to himself 15 years before. And I'm like, how does your teacher know your current address? That's weird. And the thing that's another thing, that the letter said something like, dear future me, I hope that you found something you love as much as I love hockey, or something like that. So that's why you think that the lesson is going to be, he's going to go like be with the girl he loves or something like that, but they don't like explain what he does. So you don't know what he ends up
doing. And also their relationship seemed very casual. He has like two friends.
Literally, she was the first girl he saw, and he's like, all right, that's
it. And now pack up my hockey dreams to go hang out with this girl, live in my friend's spare bedroom and hang out with this girl who works at the Guggenheim.
Oh yeah, he was gonna go stay with Trevor Gretzky,
yeah, who got traded to the Rangers at one point, if that matters.
Yeah, sorry, we forgot to mention that
he played with like the Penguins at the beginning. Because also, at one point, he bribed some guy to let him out of the penalty box early.
I mentioned that in my article, actually. That was so weird. He was like, hey, if you shave 10 seconds off my penalty, I'll get you his signed jersey. And the guy's like, okay, the timekeeper, and just does it. I'm like, that's not legal. You can't do that.
Also, I don't think you can fight in European leagues. I'm pretty sure you can't. You can't in higher ones, but I don't know obviously like what this league was like supposed to be, and they're definitely getting in fights like on the reg. Really, the takeaway is that you shouldn't watch this movie. It's not that good.
See, I told you, don't watch this movie. First of all, like, now I'm confused because I'm like, wait, there's some things that I guess happened
that left like a lot to be desired, so maybe honestly I need a rewatch to actually figure out what the plot of this movie is.
That's what I mean,
maybe more of the nuances, the themes.
Oh, the popularity went up a lot this past week on IMDb. Thank you, person on Twitter, for doing all of the marketing.
Can't believe a hockey rom-com with Wayne Gretzky's son acting in it was released 4 days ago and literally none of us realized. Sushi She 13. Thank you. Thank you for your
thank you so much.
Incredible contributions to everything. They said you can rent on Amazon Prime for $4. You should not pay $4 for it.
Please don't pay $4.
It's not worth that. That's not even that much money. Also, okay, here's another thing that I had a problem with. They started off this movie with reminding me that the Canucks lost in the Stanley Cup Finals.
What?
They did, because they're talking about the Rangers, some guy.
Yeah.
And then they were like, and then they went on to win the Cup in 94.
Honestly, if this had more, like, stuff with his relationship or more about, like, his coach's backstory and stuff, or maybe his injury was actually, like, he was going to be out the rest of the season. Like, that would have made it more interesting. At least there was some sort of, like, hardship. But, like, I don't know. It was just kind of boring. Nothing really happened. I'm still really upset about the McFlurry scene. I don't like it.
I'll give it, like, 2 stars out of 5, maybe.
I will give it 1 star out of 5. I would have given it 2 if it was Wayne Gretzky's son who had sex, because that's interesting. You can be like, whoa, Wayne Gretzky's son is having sex on camera. That's so crazy. But he didn't. It wasn't him. So I'm giving it a 1 out of 5. I would have given it a 1.5 out of 5 if the McFlurry scene did not happen.
Oh, actually, you started out with like a 5 out of 5 and just like started like docking things. All right. Do you want to hype up your thing? You can hype yourself up.
Yeah, we have a Substack. It's like a weekly newsletter. But now after this movie, we decided to do Sunday movie reviews going forward, because they're just fun for us. And we're just going to be reviewing like very obscure or shitty hockey / sports movies. But it's scorchstack.substack.com. Our Twitter is @thescorchstack. Follow us if you want. It's free for now. We might be going paid when the season starts. And yeah, that's it. Follow me if you really want. Don't recommend that. At Ramina Schlaw. Don't do it if you don't want to. I'm not going to cry.
Yeah. I mean, fair warning, she's like a Flames fan.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say fair warning. Like, she does want to fuck Shrek.
Honestly, if I had remembered that, I probably wouldn't have invited you on, because, like,
oh, well, a horrifying that's, like, thing. That's too late.
It's too late, but, like, I forget, and then I remember, and I have to, like, go lie down for, like, 10 to 15 minutes.
That's okay.
Think about, like, where I went wrong in my life to, like, become friends with somebody who, like, wants to fuck Shrek.
Like, 100, like, actually not even.
Like, human? Like, human or ogre?
No. Oh, ew. Human? No thanks. He literally looks like a Republican. No. 100% it's Ogre Shrek.
I don't know.
Okay, so I'm never coming back on broadcast again.
Okay, well, thank you so much for being here, other than the fact that this is your first and last time.
I had so much fun. Can't wait to never do it again.
If you like hockey so much, name 5 players who should star in a rom-com. That's this week's prompt for name 5 players. Vanessa, you can go first.
I am going to say Travis Konecny. I just get a lot of Flyers Twitter content on my timeline, and he just seems like a good, wholesome kid who everyone loves, and I think he'd be good. I think he comes across as a fun guy. I see no issue with him.
I could see him in like a Knocked Up style rom-com where like he needs to be fixed. Like, he's a frat boy who, like, you know, the trope, like frat boy needs to be taught commitment. Sam, who is your rom-com star?
There are way too many options for this, like way too many options, but I have two, a more serious rom-com, kind of like Tom Hanks style, Sleepless in Seattle is not a rom-com. You've Got Mail. I would go for like Matt Barzal. I think that would be a good one. And then if I were going for something more like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and like an actual comedy, I think I would go for Matt Kuchuk.
I like that choice. I like that a lot.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Danny, who would you pick?
Okay. I'm picking Brock Besser. Duh. And I'm... This is the rom-com he's in. He's going to be the one where he's like that dumb jock athlete, and he usually goes for like the popular girl. Then there's going to be that typical like nerdy girl.
She's all that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, that's a good one.
That's the kind of rom-com Brock's going to be. I'm picturing it like an American teen comedy too.
I think I'm going to pick Alexander Wenberg. He just fits the typical. He's so hot. So hot.
Yeah. And he cooks and he plays guitar.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, thank now you. I'm just going to watch rom-coms all week.
Before we sign off, special shout out to this week's 31 Thoughts. My pick for this week is Jacob Markstrom because he's really hot and he looked hot jumping off that lake house thing into the water. Maybe he'll go to Brock Besser's house and have a fun summer. Who knows? So you can interact with us on Twitter and Instagram at BroadcastPod or email us at BroadcastPod@gmail.com. We love chatting with you guys and we want your feedback on what you liked, disliked, and other content you want to see and hear. Don't forget to check out our merch. It's teespring.com. / the broadcast.
slash stores / broadcast - store.
Okay, just look up
our Twitter.
It's on our Twitter.
It's just Google Teespring broadcast merch. You can find us all individually on Twitter. I am at Georgia Twiss.
I'm at Vanessa Jang.
I'm at Samantha CP _.
And I'm at Danny Huntley.
On behalf of the Broads, thanks, and we will talk to you next week.